WNST, Tulsa Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking a little bit of a respite from doing things around here, but we're still live and up and running. Bill Cole's going to join me right now. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on March 3rd at Drug City with our friends there, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I would hold up a lottery ticket, but like I don't want to hold up the old ones because I'm going to have the new, like, old school wishbone thing going on over at Drug City. On the 8th, we're going to be at Fadley's, down at the old Lexington Market. I know the new one's open. They're going to be getting in there soon. They're building out their space in the new Lexington Market. Damie and the group at Fadley's. He's going to be joining us on March 8th, and I've got great guests coming down the line, but we're going to have great guests all month long. Bill, the National Football League has decided after 28 years to delegitimize me in a rather malicious way, I think, and disallowed me from doing Super Bowl. And people laugh, and I tell them this. When you're the big shot at the Accelerant, the CEO of Cole Roofing, by the way, still got the mug here this morning. It's Royal Farms in here as well. Well, Justin Tucker blend for a kick. Why don't they have a Justin Tucker blend with a kick? I'm just saying.
I like that. I thought
I'll talk
that was
to
a
Frank
real
Schilling
thing.
About that. I'll talk to Ed Stronsky about that. So I'm not in Phoenix. It is currently Wednesday of Super Bowl week. We're, you know, full shoot interview here. And it would be 4:48 in the morning in Phoenix, and I would be getting up in Phoenix, and I think it's probably only in the 50s. It kind of gets cold there. Like, it hasn't been nice in Phoenix this week. But I've been to Phoenix three other times for Super Bowls. My second Super Bowl was the Neil O'Donnell, Barry Switzer Super Bowl at the Sun Devil Stadium. I was at that one. And then, of course, there was the 09 game, and then there was the 15 game. So I know the streets. I know where the convention center is. I saw Mark Andrews on a dais where I had no access to him on Tuesday on Radio Row. So I know the deal. But in lieu of doing that, I am doing something kind of cool here this month and going through 28 years because I know you've been an intern here. So I'm going to say, you were an intern at WNST. Do you remember our Radio Rose when you were an intern here last century?
No, I'm just going to say no, because as an intern, I was required to deal with the golf show and the wrestling show and the basketball show. So something as cool as Radio Row. No. I wasn't allowed to go anywhere near that. You know, likely the intern screws that up. So no,
but you were
until...
in here on Sunday morning. So I'm thinking that there was
Correct.
A Super Bowl. You strolled in here in 99 Correct. Or 2000 when the Atlanta Super Bowl was happening, or the Miami. I don't know what year that was. What year was it? Do you even know?
No, it was probably like, 99.
It had to be 98,
2000,
99.
2000, 2001. It was before the Ravens.
It was a dude named Wendell that did the wrestling show, right? And Jamie did the golf show, and Bob Haney did the basketball show, right?
Yeah, and
all
I
remember about that era, since we're doing pure shooting, is I had a girlfriend. I had a girl. It was before my wife was in my life, right? So I'm single. It's 1999. I've been out all night in Vegas with this beautiful girlfriend I had from Sweden. And I'm laying in bed at the Rio and giant windows, and I feel like a king. And the phone goes off, and it's 3:48 in the morning. And it's Wendell at the radio station on a Sunday morning asking why the CDs aren't playing on the air because he couldn't play his wrestling music at 6:48 in the morning on a Sunday morning. And I'm in Vegas. And it was because the CD player read them the other way. You put it in front instead of back. He didn't know that. So I had to take a phone call. It's before text. I had to take a phone call at 3:48 in the morning in Vegas. And this is when I started thinking, like, this is when the radio station was new, and I thought this was all fun, and it was going to be like we had a pool table in the basement, bubble hockey. Remember all that?
Sure.
And that was 25 years ago. And that's when I decided, like, this is like real work, dude. You know what I mean? And I probably shouldn't have a wrestling show on Sundays.
Well, I would tell you that I was definitely not there that day. Not that anyone let me touch the CDs. I wasn't allowed to touch the CDs. I mean, literally, as an intern, the only thing I was allowed to do was answer the telephone. And maybe, like, I remember one time, the highlight of my internship was doing the basketball show with Bob Haney. And we were doing a mock NBA draft. And, like, I got to actually be one of the draftees, which... that would then constitute the most time I was ever allowed to say anything ever during any of the
Oh, you didn't
shows.
get to talk on the show?
Oh,
What kind of show was Indy running? Come
no. I was
on.
answering the phones. I was teeing up the really intelligent callers at Sunday morning at 8 o'clock in
7:15 in the morning.
the morning. No,
Well,
and
you get to talk on this show when I shut up eventually. But I did it. I mean, dude, like the Radio Row thing for me has been sort of an iconic part of what I do, right? Like, I mean,
sure.
I've gone every single year since 1995. I went before we had the Ravens. I went 92 and 95, right? So I was going to Super Bowls as a fan, praying for the Houston Oilers to be there. But like, I've done Radio Row for 5 days since New Orleans in the very, very beginning. A lot of people would show up on Thursday and Friday. Sometimes Garceau would helicopter in and sit at the Super Bowl with his little notepad and do his voting and like all that. But like we set up at 5 in the morning, and there's no one in the history of Radio Row that took it more seriously than me and my company in kicking the ass of 1300 and kicking the ass of 105.7, which we're still doing every day this month. But it was a really competitive, important week. I mean, and it's Super Bowl week. I mean, it's the biggest week of the year, you know?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've always, I'll use the word admire loosely. I don't want you to get too,
I'll
proud of
find a
yourself,
lesser
but
synonym for that.
sometimes people have a tendency to take something they love and then turn it into a business, right? Because if I'm going to spend all this time on something that I love, man, I got to feed my family and I should really just turn it into a business
I
and,
know you thought that about roofs as a kid. You ran around roofs and thought, I'm just going to do roofs, you know?
Right, exactly. So that when they do that, when people do that, they end up like losing that love they had for their hobby the minute they turn it into a business. And I think that's, like I said, something that I admire is that you have been able to remain a passionate fan, but at the same time, go and do this work and still bring that energy and love and not get worn down. And to your point, like, okay, I'm going to the Super Bowl. Yes, this will be a great time. Well, no, actually, it's a week of, some of the most intense work that you have to
Dude, I'm
do.
54 years old. The last 15 years, by Saturday, the last thing I want to do. I had Julio come down from San Francisco last year. All he wants to do is be in a room with John Elway and Dan Marino. And all I want to do is not be there by
Right.
Saturday because
Right.
I've been there all day. I've been there 60 hours a week. And like on Wednesday night, I get invited to this EA party or this or that. And like, I can't go at that pace anymore. It's one of the reasons I stopped going to the combine because it really became a drinking party for people younger than me that drank more than me and
Right.
stayed up later than I did. And I kind of have to work and I run a company. This is a serious endeavor. I know I make it look like fun. And I know that's part of the fun for you being a CEO and all of you and Leonard Raskin and Dennis Colatzos, who runs this giant car dealership over at Security. But like being amongst people who run things, there's a whole different level of pace for what you're going to see over the next 3 weeks as to how Dan Marino winds up on my show in year 25, and how Bill Walton wound up on my show in year 5, and how I had three sitting head coaches at the same time, how I've had four NFL owners on the show over the course of time, how when Adam Sandler walks in the room or Chris Rock walks in the room, they wind up and come and do my show, and they wind up sitting with me.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just from a layman's perspective, I was always fascinated with like the Super Bowl pulls them all in, right? Like you, I don't know how many of those people notify people ahead of time that they're coming to walk Radio
You
Row.
know how you know if they have a handler or if they don't?
Right.
So, like, as an
So
example, Mark Andrews running around there Tuesday. If he's there for a sponsor, he's got a handler. If he's just on with a pass being a player, which we had a lot of that. Just a lot of the guests that sat with me was just sort of like, hey, there's John Ogden and there's Trent Dilfer and there's, hey, come on over. Hey, Rod. I mean, Rod Woodson doesn't have a handler. He's my dude. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
but some years he's been handled. Some years
Right.
he was, part of a there for a sponsor or there for a charity in a lot of cases, there for a medical purpose. A lot of guys are there for medical purposes in recent years because the league kills people, right? I mean, let's call it what it is, right? I mean, the league abuses bodies and minds and souls in some cases. And I found those lost souls on Radio Row, and guys that have been to rehab, and the people that take them to rehab, people like Randy Grimes, who changed his life, played in the league 15 years. I mean, meeting really serious people. And the pissed off part for me is losing access to those humans and being delegitimized. I find that unacceptable. And then, you know,
yeah.
And the world is going to find that unacceptable at some point, because it is unacceptable what's happened to me.
Right. It's this wonderful mix of different intentions. And again, I think about you and putting myself in your shoes. You know, one minute you're having a semi-coherent discussion with a really burnt out rock star who, you know, everybody knows who they are, but they're not actually that good at communicating anymore. They lost that about 15 years ago. So you're trying to piece that together.
That's not the rock star. That's the football player.
Well, I was kidding.
No. That's the football player. I want to be really, like, it didn't take us long here, any of us long. And especially, like, you know, I'll give Drew Forrester a shout out on this one. You know, he would go to these Super Bowls and see these broken down men, and he had a different vibe about football. Yeah. Having been an athlete himself, and, you know, like all that, right? Like, when you go there and Conrad Dobler comes over with a walker and sits to you and shows you the holes in his legs, you know what I mean? Like, it's a different level. When Jim Otto comes by, when he's like these broken down older men and dementia and hard times that come with it, the NFL never wanted that. The year that that movie came out, the concussion movie, oh my God. Like,
well, and but that's what I'm
wonder why
at.
They take people's press credentials, because I'm happy to talk about that just as much as I'm happy to hero worship Joe Flacco or Joe Montana or Lamar Jackson if he ever climbs the mountain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I look, I mean, that's the interesting dichotomy of that Super Bowl week, the lead up, right? It brings everyone comes to town. So in one minute, you're having this sort of tough conversation that, you know, strikes at your heart, and then the next is a fun, you know, good, you know, some, and then the next one is a sales pitch because somebody's promoting a book or something, you know, whatever it is.
Well, that's what the radio station's going to, like, show that in the coming days and weeks, right?
Sure,
and the website's going to show that in the coming days and coming weeks, that it really, But from the business side, from the you being my sponsor and my friend and former intern, like all of that, and the way we talk about things here on the radio, if there were one roofing convention a year where all the commercial roofers came together in wherever, and it was the biggest thing, and they put it on television and they did all of that, and they told you you're no longer a roofer after doing it for 28 years, that you couldn't come to the convention. I mean, it's basically the biggest media can, I mean, anybody would say that it is the place where the media gets together, makes friends, meets other industry people. It's a significant, important event in general. And to be delegitimized there is a whole different level of, I wonder if they can do that. Because that's where we are right now. I wonder how far they can take this delegitimization and flogging of me. I wonder how far they can take that.
Right. So the last conversation, I think it was the last conversation you and I had, or maybe it was two conversations ago, was about, you know, the value of Lamar and things that were enhancing his value and things that were degrading his value. I would question how they are devaluing the Super Bowl. You know, there was a time period where it was the pinnacle. I mean, I guess it probably still is, right? So it still demands the largest dollars per minute of commercial, you know, throughout the entire year. So it still has the stranglehold on this pinnacle thing. But there are so many steps along the way that have sort of eroded what it was and what it looks like it will be into the future. And it comes from every perspective. I mean, think about, like, what did they do 21, right? So 20, they had it because it was right before COVID lockdown. So 21, Did they let people go? Would you have to get
21
tested
was
and
the
all that?
Tampa Super Bowl. That was the Brady. I think there were, it was Florida. They're nuts down there. So I think that they had people in the stands. That was the only Super Bowl I've missed in the modern era. At the last Super Bowl I missed before that was Leon Lett. Seriously.
Oh,
I've been
okay.
to every Super Bowl since Leon Lett,
Right.
other than the Brady 21 game, which was its own. I mean, it was a plague. And I never thought they would take advantage of the plague. I mean, part of Chad Steele kicking me out is the plague, using the plague as an excuse. You weren't
Yeah, well, I mean, that's.
like, you know, I mean, it'd be interesting what he would say in front of a jury, but and what he would actually say if somebody had to ask him a question about why he threw Nestor out and then why the NFL threw Nestor out. The NFL threw Nestor out because Chad Steele said so. I have that in writing. So the NFL and the Cincinnati Bengals disallowed me from covering the playoff game because Chad Steele said so. So I have that in writing. So I know where it's coming from, and I know it's very obvious why I wasn't at the Super Bowl this week. Like the Ravens told the NFL not th that I'm not legitimate anymore. So, but the interesting part for me is going through all of this, and the week being here where I would be there working really hard. I'm here working really hard in the same way that I used to work hard when I was there, but I have all of this video. All of these pictures, all of this audio that I've never presented at Baltimore Positive, right? Like if you were an NST listener or an AM 1570 listener, or you were in the car in 2006 when Trent Dilfer was bearing his soul to me about getting thrown out, or you were there in 2009 when Ray Lewis was on the set with us for 30 minutes talking about maybe leaving the Ravens and sniffing, like I have all these archival things we have. I haven't presented them on the radio in years. I haven't presented them at all at BaltimorePositive.com or on LinkedIn or on Facebook or on Twitter or on Instagram, you know, any of those places. And I'm really excited that this awful, malicious thing the NFL has done to me has freed me up this week, at least, to put it all in a box and present the evidence for 30 years of very, very hard, diligent, integrity-based, character-led work. This is what I do for a living. It's my job. Make it look like a hobby, but it ain't a hobby. And
Right.
putting this out for you and for everyone you know and for everyone who likes me, loves me, hates me. There's plenty of those too. They all come out this week. But putting the content out and saying, "Here it is, man. Go check it out. Go check out my work because I'm really, really proud of it."
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fascinating, as you watch us, and this is maybe making a bigger deal out of it than it really is. I don't know. I think that's yet to be figured out. But we have to rebuild our lives. We have to rebuild our institutions. Like all of these things coming out of the pandemic, we're rebuilding the things that we choose to spend time on, the way we treat others, the things that we give our attention to. And then in the face of 3 years worth of change, right? So how quickly things have changed through that time period, you also have to factor that in. So, how many people are still buying cable, or did they all go to the other platforms and streaming and now get, like whatever, pick whatever goofy example. The Super Bowl is going to be different. It was different when they did
Well,
it
here's how
then.
one way it's
It's
different. I have
different
friends in
now.
Philadelphia that felt like they were connected. Are you ready? So they
Yeah.
were connected, right? They're connected. They got tickets from inside. Now, that used to mean that you knew Baker Koppelman or you knew someone with the Ravens when the Ravens get in. You had a chance because you won the lottery, right? To
Sure.
buy a ticket at face value, right? Face value on a ticket is $4,200, dude. They've
Wow.
made the face value now the scalper price. Kind of like Springsteen, right? Springsteen used to be $250 and the tickets would get scalped for $800. Now he's just charging $800. The Super Bowl tickets, you've been to two Super Bowls, right? It said on the
Yeah.
ticket, $650, you paid $1,400, right? It said on the ticket in 2000, whatever, $950, but you paid $2,100, right? So whatever, or $3,100. I mean, it could have been it, right? Wherever it was, now they just charge the $3,100. Like the roofers are $3,000. It's $4,200 here. The 50-yard line's 10 grand, right? Like, they are their own scalper at this point. I went to Disney last week. I paid $156 to get into Disney. They're their own scalper at this point.
Well, I don't, this might disappoint you, but I'm not sure I actually have an issue with that. I mean,
That's
it's
the market price.
right, it's supply and demand, and
But the market
why?
price would be if you won the lottery and you're in Philadelphia, you'd think maybe I can get a ticket for $1,000. You know, maybe that would be the face, you know, like maybe that would be the case, right? But it's just not. You know, you go through all this to win the lottery, you win the lottery. Have you won the lottery if the tickets are $3,800? Have you won the
Okay.
lottery?
So, right. So you can, as the business, establish that the market value is such. But doing that, to your point, and I don't know what the percentage was of the lottery winners who were paying six, seven, 800 bucks of in face value. I don't know how many of
I know
those
a lot of
people.
people here 10 years ago that
Sure.
got a ticket for
Yeah.
$800 from the team. $800 is $800, but they could have sold it for $2,400 at the time, right?
And
So yeah.
I mean, is that half the stadium? Is that a quarter of the stadium? Is a third? Like, I don't know what
Well, I
that
mean, the
number is, right?
sponsors and like take up, you know, there used to
Yeah.
be this large percentage. It was 1% of the gate that every team in the league got. I think it's still that way because every player in the league has a right to buy a ticket. Or two tickets, excuse me. Every player. So a lot of, I mean, let me tell you Siragusa's story. Siragusa was the king of going around the locker room being a ticket scalper. He loved it. He took pride in it. He literally would put $100 bills. He'd walk around the clubhouse and buy tickets for his Jersey buddies to, and they move them. I don't, I mean, they got fans that use them, you know? I mean, this is 1999. It was you know, front office team. People, when they would negotiate a deal, they would negotiate. If you were negotiating to get a job with the Tampa Bucks, you'd say, you know, the thing that would really have me work for you is if I got two tickets to the Super Bowl, the right to purchase, the right to purchase, right? And you'd purchase them for 650 and you'd backdoor them for 1500 and you'd take your wife to the Caribbean with $1,000 you made on the tickets, right? Like that was a league thing forever. It was a Benny, you know, inside the league 25 years ago. I don't want to say that they shouldn't have taken that out. To your point, at the C level, yeah, man, we're getting mugged here for a lot of money. But to your point, the Super Bowl is never going to be the same because nobody in Dundalk's going to be able to do that
Well,
ever.
that's right. That's where I was trying to get to. So if half of the stadium is sold at face value, and then half of that number sells them for the money, right? Then you end up with 25% of the stadium with people who paid six, seven, 800 bucks for the ticket, which again isn't nothing, right? Like that's still the most expensive sporting event. You know what I mean? That a family would not even a family, like the families don't do it,
Well,
right?
this year's even worse because both of these teams have done it recently, right?
Right. So if you take, I mean, you know, they always made jokes about the Super Bowl that like there was it, you didn't have to worry about calling your plays or the snap count or any of that because there were not enough fans of one team or the other for it to actually be loud or anything like that. So you know, so
Yeah, that's really the truth.
it is, and I get that. But that still means that the game becomes devoid of all meaning, right? Like
Well, they played a
what?
whole season with nobody in the stand, so let's not act like the fans are that important. You know,
Well,
they
but I
don't
mean, like
really care who
what?
shows up. They care that the people that show up are willing to pay $24 for a beer. I mean, the scalping in the stadium's unbelievable, dude. I mean, like once you get into the game day, I mean the pretzels are $12. I mean, it's
I
like
got you.
literally the most expensive thing once you're in there. The beers that they charge $12 during a regular season, they're 16.
But everybody's okay with that. Like
Well, I mean,
that's such
gouging
a
was what it used to be called, right?
I understood that was
Yeah.
20 years ago. People complained about it. Now, you know, and they try to sneak beers in their pockets, and you know, I mean, like you know, there was it was annoying enough that they were willing to take steps to try and
Dude, I
circumvent
went to Springsteen
it.
last week in Tampa, and it's the first time I've been out in a while, right? I haven't flown on an airplane. I've just been working, you know, doing what I can do after the Ravens are trying to wreck my career. I got to work, you know what I mean? So the last 5 months, I haven't been on a plane. Went down to Tampa, and I'm at Springsteen, right? And I, you know, had a couple beers in the parking lot, a little tailgate down there, beautiful night out. I'm seeing Bruce. How can it be bad? I'm alone. It's all good. Go in, and I checked the beer out, and they had the big tall boys, the 24 ounces. And I'm like, and they don't even put the price up. Like the price isn't even, Like the price isn't even there at the hockey arena anymore, right? Same hockey arena I saw the Caps in 5 years ago. So I pull my credit card. I'm like, I'm just gonna, buy. Give me a big old silver that or a Michelob ball, whatever, right? So I get a beer, and it was $13. And I thought, it's 24 ounces of beer. It's only like $6.50 a beer. I'm like, that's a deal. Like I felt really good about it. Like I felt like I wasn't getting gouged, even though I was getting gouged. But it felt like when you went to the movie theater, you know what I mean? Like you got the popcorn and you knew it was $2 in popcorn, you paid $14 for it. But at least I got a $13 beer at a Springsteen show, and I felt like, man, I made out, So
It's pretty weird how the world changes and our
that beer's
perception of things
24
change.
bucks at the Super Bowl. That beer's
Sure,
24 bucks. Yeah,
sure.
for sure.
But I guess what I'm worried about is like the clips they show of like, and the one I'm envisioning, and this never happens at the Super Bowl, but is like, the unranked college football team beats the number one ranked college football team, and the students rush the field, right? That's the image, right? That
That's sports.
right, the glorious overcoming for the underdog to win. And that's why, the Ravens run in 2000. And I just watched that 30 for 30 again
You
the
love
other
it?
night. Oh man, I stayed up way too late. It was on late. I was like, I can't go to bed. This is so good.
I felt bad for the people that didn't go to the Meyerhof that night.
That was me. I didn't go. Like, why? I didn't even know it was happening. I'm just like not even connected. I'm just totally in the
There were a
dark.
lot of
But
empty seats there that night, to be honest. It wasn't
that's
well
terrible.
attended. It was well
That's
attended, but it
terrible.
wasn't well attended.
Well, that was not promoted properly, right? That's not interested in having the $600 ticket buyers in the Meyerhof that night. That's what that is,
I think I
right?
paid $50 to go or like that. I mean, I think I may paid $100 for two tickets. I bought my tickets and I sat in the stands and, like watched it.
But like the ride, I mean, we went to the home game, we drove to Tennessee, we didn't make it to the black hole, and then we drove to Tampa, I mean, and then we're sort of like annoyed because we're getting calls from people who are in Canton or Fells Point after the win, and we're like, gosh, I wish we could be there
Were you at Whiskey
right
Joe's?
now. Oh, of course. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know
Oh yeah, I got pictures to prove it. They're fun.
that.
They're funny pictures too. But it's like, at what point does that not matter? I don't know that that matters, right? Like people
It
already
mattered a
don't
lot to you on
think.
Sunday night.
Yeah, but like people don't think that they can go anyway, right? It's an unachievable ticket. It's not. You know what I mean? Like you really gotta be willing to like give up a lot in your life to make that magic happen.
At this point, sure.
Even
I mean,
then, anything,
2001.
you're traveling, you're hoteling, all everything's jacked up, everything you're touching, it's an experience, sure, but I mean the choice to do that is,
It's
a
not for
thing.
everyone, or everyone would be, it's not priced for everyone. I would agree with that.
Right. And I just, maybe it doesn't have much impact on it all. I don't know. I mean, I think I am concerned, or I don't even know if concerned is the right thing. I don't feel strongly enough to predict anything, but watching what they're doing to you, thinking about the different black eyes that have occurred for the league over the last decade, right? All the concussions, all the things we're bringing up, right? The concussion stuff. I mean, all of it, the stuff that went on with the guy from Buffalo, right? Like all of the things that continue to happen and the rise of premier soccer. I don't know.
F1.
F1. Yeah, right. Like these other things that just continue to, and then,
Well, around here, I mean, I got Bruce Posner all worked up about Maryland lacrosse season, right? I mean, people have the next season golf. If you love golf, golf's coming. There's the baseball. Baseball's coming, man. I mean, they're NBA. LeBron's the king, right? Like, so there's always Leonard Raskin will be on. He's following the Caps every night. Novechkin, his little boy skating around and playing hockey. So, I mean, there are other things out there. And I remember when you and I were kids, baseball was king, and they were the kings of arrogance, right? Who were the worst people ever? The baseball players. They were always the arrogant guy. That was part of Major League was Roger Dorn was a baseball player. Now here we've got Lamar Jackson, and part of this is, are we going to give him $250 million or not? Guaranteed. I mean, we've just moved to different stakes, man. I mean, 30 years ago on the radio, I remember arguing about whether Cal Ripken was worth $5 million or $6 million a year, because he really wasn't. He was getting older, but he's Cal, and he sells tickets. He sells tickets. He sells tickets. The one thing about the Ravens is, they're making so much money that the empty seats don't matter, the TV, that it just they're too big to fail, and that's why they can do things like they've done to me. I mean, really, that's the truth.
I don't know. That's bizarre to me. I mean, dribble in the discussions about, well, the millennials, they're not like football fans. So that's an entire, generation that they've got to convince to come to the stadium.
They're not worried about that. The people in there right now are not thinking. Roger Goodell's already, he's got $1 billion in the bank. You think he's worried about the day after tomorrow? He's worried about making numbers right now, keep his gig right now, and if the place is on fire, worry about it later. You know what I mean?
So what happens when, and this might have actually already happened, but like esports, like what happens when the Madden championship in esports is a bigger draw or a bigger moneymaker than the real game that occurs at the Super Bowl?
Well,
Like
I
that.
listen, man. I had your boy Rosenfeld on 2 weeks ago about AI, and I got to tell Mike this too, because I went to the Hammerjacks premiere Saturday night over in my neighborhood, literally in Colgate East Point, where I grew up. And I'm there, and I was talking to people. My old pal Derek Noyes, who works for 97 Underground, know Derek 30 years, I say, "Hey, Derek, how you doing?" I said, "My wife, hey, I know Derek." Derek comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, dude, I heard that AI piece you did on the radio last week. Unbelievable, man." And I'm thinking, see, people listen to stuff around here, But more than that, the virtual gaming and stuff that's coming down the line. I mean, and I'll leave you with this, because I know you've got beautiful family and you do family things and you go places. I spent one day alone at Epcot last week, last Thursday, in between going to see Bruce in Tampa and Atlanta. I just went to Orlando and bought a ticket, walked the park, drank beer. Looked at kids blowing bubbles. It was fun. It was a beautiful day. Good way to spend my day. People watching, as it were, after a plague outdoors with liquidity. And I got on Soarin', right? So I get in Soarin'. It's the first thing I did when I went in the park, because it's the greatest ride ever in my mind, because you go around the world. It's my jam and it smells. So I did it, and it was just as cool as it was 5 years ago when I did it with my wife. And I got there early, and later in the night it got empty again, and I went back and rode it again for a second time before before the fireworks or whatever. 5 minute wait, I'm on it, right? And I'm on that ride, and I put a little thing out online, and everybody's like, "Soarin', I've been there, it's a great thing." But there's something even better. If you like that, there's going to be this Matrix thing where you fly with goggles on, and I'm like, shit, man, sign me up for some of that, So I'm thinking to myself, if the NFL is going to throw me out, baseball, sports, whatever, like, what am I real? And Springsteen's going to die and not tour anymore. What am I really going to be into when I'm 65 and broken down? Because I ain't picking up a golf club. I'm not going to be like Billick and go back on my. Billick said he was never going to golf. Now when I text him, he's golfing. So I will never golf, right? But I'm thinking that the fun part of whatever the virtual thing is, that's going to be my thing, going into some virtual reality where I get to fly around the world, because that was kind of fun for me.
Do you, yeah, here, let me just ruin your day. But
No, don't
like,
do it.
imagine, did you see the movie Inception with
Nah, I don't see movies.
Leonardo DiCaprio, where they're
No.
all dreamers?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, you probably need to watch that. So
Okay.
like that, we have these machines that you hook up to that make you fall asleep and dream. And then the whole premise of the movie is that they're like stealing corporate secrets by intercepting other people's dreams and
That's really
whatever,
weird,
whatever.
dude. Yeah. That doesn't sound like a movie I'm really interested in at all.
But at one point they go into this room and it's full of people, old people who live like their entire lives hooked up to the machine, dreaming about being young and being physically fit, or like, you know what I mean? So like, yes, I hear you. There's all these exciting things that come,
So by
but
the time I'm 80, I'll get to go on the beach and just really think I'm 23 again.
and you won't even be at a beach. You'll be at a in a closet in your house, right? That
With a
is
heat
like,
lamp on.
temperature controlled with some wind blowing in there, you know. And if you really want to do it, they tell you to put a little box of sand under your feet and you just
So
put
I'm going to give you a Bruce
it.
Springsteen line right now from a song called Asbury Park Sandy. He's talking about being out on the boardwalk, banging those pleasure machines all night, you know, talking about playing pinball all night. And I'm thinking it's like an arcade that you walk into, right? Where it's just you push the buzz button for pleasure, whatever brings you pleasure. Because I mean, football brings people, they like cheering, they like winning,
Sure,
they like losing, they like high,
sure,
whatever that endorphin is, right? Like, get me to
sure.
that endorphin, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find that through some other premise than Springsteen or a football game. So it's the only way I've found it the last 54 years. So I'm working on it. Bill Cole's going to try to grow me up. He's going to also try to help you understand solar, understand commercial roofing. Bill, as Tony Della Rosa once said here, tell him something, Bill.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think anybody really wants to understand commercial roofing. So we'll just say that again, it remains a
They
thing
don't
where.
need to understand it. You understand it. They should call you and go
Right.
roof. Simple,
Well,
right?
no, I want them to understand it enough to know you should plan for it, right? Like, plan for it. Think about it. It's going to come at some point. Let's not wait until we're like
It's
30
not
years
up there
down.
forever.
Right. You're going to
Yeah.
have to plan for it. And when you do, the idea is that if you're proactive and you're thinking about it and you're planning for it, you also have the ability at that point to evaluate what putting solar on top of a new roof would look like. And, you know, maybe it's right for you, maybe it's not, doesn't matter.
You have fancy drawings, right? Like you'll come in to show them what their
Sure.
new roof. Okay. All right.
You can
That's
do
good.
that. But nobody really cares about the drawings. Well, some people care about the drawings, but really it's the math, it's the spreadsheet. Like, here's the tax credits,
Here's what
here's
I've
the
got for you.
electricity.
You're going to give them AI glasses and they're going to walk around on their new roof, right? And smell the smells and feel the breeze, right? And then you're going to have them see their bank account and see the money it's saving them and seeing how it's making the world greener and a better place, right?
Okay.
Is that
Yeah,
pretty good?
sure. That's good. That's good. I mean, we definitely have done like these virtual, so we can take a picture of the building, we can draw the solar on
They did
top
that
of
with my
it.
kitchen last year. It's
Yeah,
amazing.
and then like fly a pretend drone that's going around and showing them like all sides
But
of
that's
it
only
and
for the
then
fancy projects, right? So, yeah.
I mean, really not. It's
It's easy.
easy. It's easy and inexpensive. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not easy for me. I don't know how to do it,
But
but
we have
there are
people.
people who can do it, right?
Bill Cole, it can be found at the front of Baltimore Positive. He's been our friend, our intern, our consigliere for a long time around here. Find him at Baltimore Positive. Find him at coleroofing.com and, of course, Gordian Energy. I am going to be found at Drug City on the 3rd of March. I'm going to be at Fadley's on the 8th doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, 866-90 Nation. If you need windows, you talk about saving money, staying ahead, doing what you're doing. I got windows last summer. It has been a great, great winter year because I'm not freezing my tail off. And I know I'm saving money because I've like got the bills. I got year to dates now. New windows. Good idea. 866-90 Nation. Buy two, get two free and 2 years free financing. They were doing five. They're doing two. It's still a good deal. Take advantage of that. And take advantage of all of our WNST Radio Row awesomeness. It's Radio Row month. I think I just came up with something, Bill. It's Radio Row month here, February, all month long. The history of 28 years doing Radio Row before they maliciously threw me out and tried to delegitimize me. By the end of the month, we'll see who's legitimate. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, illegitimately doing pirate radio from Dundalk here in Towson for 25 years.